Praise God. Come on, let's give up for the worship team, man. I tell you what, we honor you guys, salute you guys. Thank you. Glory be to God. Thank you so much, everybody. You may have your seats quickly. In these next few moments, I want to share something that the Lord has really given to me, and I believe that every single one of you are truly going to be blessed, as I know you've already been. Amen. Who's been blessed this evening so far? Who's been blessed all around the nations of the world? Come on, continue to tag, continue to share the broadcast. Please go ahead and do so. If you're in this place tonight and you're expecting to hear the word of God, I want you to take out your Bibles. I want you to take out your pens right now. Take out whatever it is that you can take notes on. If you have a smartphone or whatever, dumb phone, whatever it may be, take it out so that you're able to take down notes. If you don't take notes, you'll never be taken note of. It's as simple as that. The answer is very simple. It's time to get serious about the Word of God. I said it's time to get serious about the Word of God. And I see this being the generation that'll be serious about the Word of God. Because when you're serious about the Word, you're serious about God. What do I mean by that? The Bible says in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. So as you get serious about the Word, you get serious about God. I said, as you get serious about the Word, you get serious about God. Are there any serious people about the Word in this place today? Amen. Am I the only one? Bump your neighbor and say, I'm serious about the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if you want to live in perpetual victory, for this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith, and the source of faith being the Word, as I'm serious about the Word, I'm serious about my faith in God. Therefore, I'm serious about victory, and I can live in victory every single day. Amen. Go with me quickly to Judges chapter 6, and I want to read from verse 1, in fact, all the way in the Old Testament, Judges chapter 6. And I want to show you something here today, that as I get into this word today, I want to start off by saying this: if you are looking for a sign, this is it. Look at your neighbor. You can write that as the title down. If you're looking for a sign, this is it. If you're looking for a sign, this is it. I want to take you to a text today that I'm sure for some of you will be very familiar. And for others, perhaps you've never opened up your Bible before. That's fine. You're about to encounter the true and living God. Amen. Hallelujah. Here we go. Verse in Judges chapter 6, and I'll read from 1. Verse 1. 1-2, let's read together. Gideon becomes Israel's judge. In Judges chapter 6, it says this: again, the Israelites did what was evil in the Lord's sight. In other words, they were disobedient. So the Lord handed them over to the Midianites for 7 years. The Midianites were cruel, so cruel that the Israelites fled to the mountains where they were hiding in places for them, such as caves and dens. So they were hiding from the Midianites. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, marauders from Midian, Amalek, and the people of the east would attack Israel, camping in the land and destroying crops far away as Gaza. They left the Israelites with nothing to eat. In other words, they raped and pillaged. They came through and they destroyed everything. They took everything because of disobedience. I'm here to decree and tell you this today, that if you're looking for a sign, this is it. You see, the price of your disobedience is the price of your disobedience is your sign today to obey. The price of your disobedience is a sign to you today to obey the Word of God. You see, disobedience will cost you your life. Sin will cost you. Obedience will always pay for you. Obedience will always see the blessing of God, the hand of God upon your life. Write this scripture down and put it down in the comment section as well. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 verse 9. The Bible says that the eyes of the Lord go throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those who are fully committed to Him. Are there any fully committed people in this place to the Lord today? I'm not talking about having this Jesus, this kind of Jesus that we have where we're like, okay, it's a side chick Jesus. I'm just going to have Him on, you know, when I need Him. I'm talking about being fully committed to Jesus, where it's even unreasonable, where it's not easy. When everybody's saying go this way, you choose to be committed to Christ. Because catch this, your obedience to God will always position you for a life of glorious outcomes. Write that down and make it personal. My obedience to God always secures a life of glorious outcomes. Your obedience to God is all that God needs. The outcome is God's responsibility. I said your obedience to God is all that He needs from you. The outcome is God's responsibility. If you're looking for a sign, this is it. I said, if you're looking for a sign, this is it. The eyes of the Lord are going throughout the whole earth to show himself what? Strong on behalf of those who are fully committed to him. You know, Pastor Now shared a powerful word, and I know he's watching tonight, shared a powerful word on Sunday about the people who know their God. You see, too many of us know about God. Too many of us know of God. Too many of us have a mother who's on their knees praying right now because she knows or they know God. Do you know God? Bump your neighbor right now and ask them, do you know God? Do you know the true and living God? See, the people who know their God shall be strong and perform mighty exploits. See, Paul could only say, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, because he knew. He knew God. He had an active, intimate relationship with the one true God. See, the Bible says this in the book of Samuel, that when the Spirit of the Lord came upon Saul, I'm not talking about Paul in the New Testament, I'm talking about Saul, King Saul, he became another man. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he became another man. In other words, you have the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead living on the inside of you as a child of God. That means you become another person. The world cannot recognize you. In fact, the Bible says that we are hidden in Christ. You cannot be found by the devil. I said you cannot be found by the devil when you're hidden in Christ, when you are rooted in the Word of God. No devil can harass you. If you believe that, come on, shout amen. If you're looking for a sign, this is it. Verse 3. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the marauders from Midian, Amalek, and the people of the east would attack Israel, camping in the land and destroying the crops as far away as Gaza. They left the Israelites with nothing to eat, taking all their sheep, oxen, donkeys. These guys were going through the most. You think you're going through the most? These people were going through the most. Verse 5. These enemies, hoarders, came with their cattle and tents as thick as locusts. Arrived on droves of camels, too numerous to count, and they stayed until the land was stripped bare. So every time the Israelites would plant, every time the Israelites would make a move, every time the Israelites would do something, these marauders, these attackers would come in and just pillage, take everything. They would come in and destroy everything. See, the thief comes but to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. I want you to recognize this today, that without Jesus, we're nothing. Without him in our lives, we wouldn't be here today. If it weren't for the price that was paid over 2,000 years ago, that's why you need to know that when you're sold out for him, you cannot be bought. I said, when you're sold out for Christ, you can never be bought. But the thing is this, are you willing to count the cost? You see, these Israelites counted the cost because of their disobedience. But when you obey God, you count the cost a different way. You know that persecution will come. People will not like me for serving God. You see, your faith in God will inspire some and it will annoy others. If you're looking for a sign, this is it. Your obedience to God will inspire some and it will annoy others. Be obedient anyway. Say that after me. I'm obedient anyway. In the comment section, declare it right now. I'm obedient anyway. Let's jump down to verse 6. So Israel was reduced to starvation by the Midianites. Then the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help. Say that, the Lord, I cry out to the Lord today. God will answer me. It says in verse 7, when they cried out to the Lord because of Midian, the Lord sent a prophet to the Israelites. He said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you out of slavery in Egypt and rescued you from the Egyptians and from all who oppressed you. I drove your enemies and gave you their land. I drove out your enemies. In other words, God did it for them before. You see, if God has done it before, he'll most certainly do it again. I said, if God did it before, he'll most certainly do it again. Someone shout, God, do it again. I drove out your enemies and gave you their land. I told you I am the Lord your God. It's time to recognize God for who he truly is in your life. It's time to recognize his greatness, his awesomeness, his faithfulness to you. You must not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live now, but you have not listened to me. Disobedience will cost you your life. Sin will cost you your life. Sin will cost you. Obedience will pay. Then the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the oak tree at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash of the clan of Abiezer. Gideon, son of Joash, had been threshing wheat at the bottom of a winepress to hide the grain from the Midianites. In other words, he was in the most awkward position threshing wheat, trying to get something done because he doesn't want the enemy to see what he's doing because he's trying to get some food for himself. In other words, he's hustling hard. Maybe you feel right now like you're doing everything. You're doing all you can do and all you, when you've done all you can do and the enemy just comes in and takes it away. Where are you disobedient today? See, only you can do that introspection. Only you can check your life right now and see where there's open doors of disobedience in your life, because the enemy will always come in and destroy because you've kept the door open for him. See, some of us are wondering why we're not experiencing what we desire to see in our lives and what we know God can do in and through our lives, but it's because of disobedience. We've kept the door open for far too long for the devil to harass us. But today, I decree and declare every open door upon your life, every open door in your life, stand up right now with me. And I want you to make a prophetic act now with me and close that door. Grab that handle right now in the name of Jesus, even in the spiritual realm right now. Grab that door of disobedience and shut it in the name of Jesus. 1, 2, shut it now. Shut it now. Shut it now in Jesus' name. That door of disobedience is shut today in the name of Jesus. See, the responsibility is still yours. Nothing just happens. You determine from this moment on, from henceforth, what happens in your life. Because you see, obedience is far greater than sacrifice. You can take your seats in this place. Now, this is where I want to draw a text for today. And I want to show you something so powerful here, because as I was preparing for this, the Lord said to me, Jade, if you're looking for a sign, this is it. Obedience in this hour will be that sign that will set you apart. Your obedience to God, your wholehearted dedication, your wholehearted commitment to Him is what's going to set you apart. Then you will once again see the difference between those who serve God and those who don't. Those who know of God and those who know about God and those who know God. Here we go. We pick up with our character for today, Gideon. Then the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the oak tree at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash from the clan of Abiezer. Gideon, son of Joash, had been threshing wheat at the bottom of a winepress to hide from the Midianites. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." Make that personal right now and say, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with me." In the King James Version, it puts it so beautifully. It says this, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said, 'The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor.'" Where was Gideon? What was he doing? Hiding. Hiding from the Midianites. Hustling, trying to do his utmost best to not be seen. Isn't it interesting that I'm going to pick up from this text, because I want you to see something. That just moments before the angel arrives, he's in the weakest, most oppressed place that he could possibly be. In a place of depression, in a place of anxiety, in a place of fear, in a place of obscurity. And the angel of the Lord appears to him and says, "Thou mighty man of valor." See, the Lord is speaking to you today and making you recognize that through Christ you can do all things, who gives you strength. But it comes down to you knowing Him. It comes down to you obeying Him. It comes down to you taking Him at His word. And Gideon said unto him, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then has all of this befallen us? And where be all the miracles which our fathers told us, saying, 'Did the Lord not bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." But what he doesn't realize is this, is their disobedience. Their sin costed them. Say, ukostile. It costed them. That's the reality. Their sin, their own sin was what messed it up for them. And here's Gideon asking, "But why? Wait, look at all what the Lord has done before. Look at what God did for us before. Surely He can do." Say, everybody say, "Surely He can do it again." "The Lord brought us up out of Egypt, but now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go with the strength you have." and rescue, catch this, rescue Israel from the Midianites, I am sending you. See, the reality is this. Are you willing to be sent? See, too many of us are saying we are willing, but are you obedient? The Bible says in Isaiah 1:19 that if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Yeah, we have Gideon in a wine press, hiding away, threshing some wheat because he doesn't want the Midianites to see him. He's in the most awkward position, making food for himself, hustling hard. See, if they were not just willing to serve God, if they were obedient in actually going ahead and serving Him. Faith without works is dead. Nothing just happens. See, today is your sign to come back to obedience. Today is your sign to come back to the truth of God's Word. Today is your sign to say, Lord, I've been disobedient, but today I'm going in your strength. You see, you don't have to do it on your own. God has never, He will never, the Bible doesn't say in Matthew 28, and Jesus, you know, said to His disciples and said to you, go ye therefore into all the world, and one day I'll send you some power. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says this, that you shall receive power after that which the Holy Ghost has come upon you. In other words, you have the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, living on the inside of you. Jesus didn't leave us high and dry to go about and hopefully make something happen. And use persuasive speech, give you some motivational speech. They're like, yo man, I feel great right now. And then you go back into your feelings and you hide away in a place of obscurity. Because you're living in your feelings and not in faith. We're called to walk by faith and not by sight. Is somebody getting this today? I said, is somebody getting this today? The Lord said to him, I will be with you and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man. Midianites, did you see how many they are? Gideon replied, if you are truly going to help me, show me a sign. Say, if you're looking for a sign, this is it. Show me a sign to prove that it is truly you speaking to me, Lord. Don't go away until I come back and bring my offering to you. Then the Lord answered, I will stay here until you return. Gideon hurried home. He cooked a young goat and with a half bushel of flour, he baked some bread without yeast. Then carrying the meat in a basket and in broth in a pot, he brought them out and presented them to the angel under the oak tree. The angel of God said to him, place the meat and the unleavened bread on the rock and pour the broth onto it. And Gideon did as he was told. Catch this, obedience. He's speaking to an angel. Even in the smallest thing, he's obedient. You see, sometimes you want to see God do great things in your life. Are you obedient with the small things? Are you obedient in those moments of insignificance when nobody's watching? When nobody sees, when nobody can give you a high five and recognize you and say, oh, blessed be the name of the Lord, they've done it again. Are you obedient in those moments when nobody's looking? I want to jump down to verse 22. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he cried out, Sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. And the angel said, it is all right. The Lord replied, do not be afraid, you will not die. And Gideon built an altar to the Lord and named it, the Lord is peace. The altar remains in Ophrah in the land of the clan of Abiezer to this day. That night the Lord said to Gideon, take the second best bull from your father's herd. I know we're reading a lot today, but I need you to catch this because we're serious about the word. Amen. The one that is 7 years old. Pull down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole standing beside it. Then build an altar to the Lord your God. In other words, they built an altar to Baal, a false god, an idol, a wicked god. There's only one true God. I said there's only one true and living God. Every idol that comes next to the presence of God falls down. His head gets cut off. His arms falls off. Nothing can stand in the presence of the Most High God. Come on, are there any people excited about the one true and living God? Hallelujah! Our God's not dead. You can go to the grave today of Buddha. It'll be a big grave. You can go to the grave of Krishna, you may find 8 arms. You can go to the grave of Allah, and you may find a bomb. But let me tell you, You go to Israel and you go to that cave, you go to that tomb. It says on that tomb, for our God is alive. He is not here. He is risen. He's the one true and living God. Hallelujah. My God. There is only one God. All the other gods, they are the works of man. But we have the Most High God. There is none like Him. Glory be to God. My God. Early the next morning, catch this, he destroys this idol. Early the next morning, the people of the town began to stir. Someone discovered the altar of Baal had been knocked down. So now there's people there, they're like, what is going on? Baal, this idol's down. Who did this? Surely. The altar of Baal had been knocked down, and at the place of Asherah pole, it was gone. In their place, a new altar was built, and it had the remains of the sacrifice on it. The people said to each other, who did this? And after asking around, making a careful search, they learned that it was Gideon, son of Joash. Snitches. Bring out your son, they shouted to Joash. He must die for destroying the altar of Baal and cutting down the altar of the Asherah pole. But Joash shouted to the mob, why are you defending Baal? Why do you have to? We don't have to defend our God. We just praise His name. We don't have to defend Him. We just praise His name. Oh man, you should get more excited about that. Why are you defending Baal? Joash, his father's not like, why are you defending this idol? Will you argue his case? Whoever pleads his case will be put to death by morning. But catch this. If Baal is truly a god. Oh my God. I said, oh my God. If Baal is truly a god, let him defend himself. No idol can defend himself. Only the one true living God. Whom we praise, whom we serve today. My God. See, if you're looking for a sign today, this is it. It's your sign to obey the word of God. I want to give you two things that we can take from the life of Gideon and get ready to take these down. Because as we continue to read the story, there's more signs that take place. And I don't have enough time, but I need to give you these points in the short time that I have. And what I need you to recognize today is it's just like Gideon, the angel comes to him in a place of obscurity, in a place of nothing, in a place of hopelessness, and says to him, thou mighty man of valor. So the Lord is coming to you today and making you recognize that through Him, you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. That through Him, no matter where you come from or how you may have arrived in this place, the fact that you're not dead means that He's not done. The truth is, in this world, you will have trials and tribulation. The truth is, your faith will always be tested. The truth is, there will always be a moment to give up. There will always be an opportunity to say, you know what, I can't do this anymore. I don't know how am I going to do this. Maybe you're watching right now and you've attempted suicide a number of times. Today, hear the voice of the Lord saying to you, it's time to rise up, child of God. You are His workmanship, that He's predestined work before you, long before you even existed. He predestined you. He set you apart for such a time as this. And He's called you to a glorious purpose. See, what can we take from the life of Gideon? Write this down. The first thing is this. God is bigger than anything you are facing or will ever face. I said God is bigger than anything you are facing right now or you will ever face. See, Gideon, later on in the text, and you can go and read this, continue reading it, Judges chapter 6 and 7. You'll see that he actually goes in, they go in the most awkward fashion. God gives them the most ridiculous instructions. It's so strange that they defeat the armies of Midian, but it's done in such an awkward way where you're like, God, I don't understand. See, you don't need to know how, you don't need to know what, you don't need to know when, you don't need to know why. All you need to know is who. I serve the true and living God. That no matter what happens, no matter what may come my way, no matter why it may come, when it may come, because I know who, I know my God. Shout that out loud and say it confidently. I know my God. God is bigger than anything you will ever face. Romans 8:31, you can write the scripture down quickly. I feel the fire of God. I feel the mighty fire of God. God is bigger than anything you are facing right now or that you'll ever face. Cancer has a name and it must bow. Cystic fibrosis has a name and it must bow to the name of Jesus. I see cysts right now dying, burning up in your body right now. I see someone has cysts in their womb. In the name of Jesus, that foul devil of barrenness, it comes off of you now. In the name of Jesus, be fruitful and multiply in Jesus' name. God is bigger than anything you are facing or you'll ever face. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? What then shall we say to these things? What then shall we say to these things? You see, there are many things. Everybody say there are many things. But there's one answer. The name of Jesus. What then shall we say to these things? See, these things may come. Because they will come in this world. You will have trials and tribulation. But be of good cheer. For I have overcome. What then shall we say to these things? If God be for us. My God. I said, if God be for us. If God be for us. If God be for us. Who can be against us? Who? What can be against us? What can stand in your way when God before you? You see, when you have all of heaven backing you, you don't have to worry. You don't have to be concerned. You don't have to worry about the outcome because you've been obedient and you know all of heaven's backing you. The outcome is already determined. I decree every outcome in your life be a glorious outcome by your obedience in the name of Jesus. If you receive that right now, shout, I receive it. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. The second thing we can take from Job quickly. Oh, Job. Gideon. My God. I don't know why I jumped to Job. Job chapter 36. In fact, that's what is in my spirit. Job chapter 36. If they shall live and obey their God, they shall live their lives in prosperity. Their years in prosperity. You want prosperity? Obey God. You want to see victory? Obey God. You want to see the blessing of God that's upon this ministry, upon your life? Obey God. That's the simple answer. It's not complicated. Sometimes we complicate it. We think there's an equation with God. We have to have this equation to work it out. No. It's obedience. That's the only equation. The second thing from Gideon. Sometimes God doesn't make sense. That's because he makes faith. My God. I said sometimes God doesn't make sense because he makes faith, and faith always assures you of the victory. Hallelujah. I stole that one from you, Uncle Greg. See, when you don't know what to do, when you don't know how, when you don't know what, all you know is God. All you know is who. All you know is that God, if God be for me, who can stand against me? If God be for me, and I know, catch this. This is the thing. When you obey, you know. When you are in obedience, you know. I said when you are in obedience to God, you know. And we, Romans 8:28, write that scripture down and let it resonate with your spirit. Catch it with your spirit today. And we know that God causes some things. Causes maybe a few things. Causes all things to work together for those who love him and are called according to his purposes. Amen. Whose faith is being stirred in this place? Hallelujah. See, sometimes God doesn't make sense. See, when God doesn't make sense, I want you to see this in 1 Corinthians 1:27. You need to write these scriptures down, because as I was preparing for this, I was being ministered to myself. I was even speaking to my wife. I was like, where did this come from? I saw this in scripture. I was like, I was intoxicated by the wine of scripture, by the new wine. Maybe you've been intoxicated by other wine. It's time to get intoxicated by the Holy Ghost. New wine.